Turning your Bibles, now listen to where we're going to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I know that 1 Samuel 25, if you want to hold a place in 1 Samuel 25, we're going to go back there in just a second. But just look at, just turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're continuing to study the life of David, a man after God's own heart. To be a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart is a person that says, I want to do the will of the Father. I want to do what God wants me to do. We've seen some great truths and principles already in our study, but this morning we're looking at the issues of forgiveness and vengeance. And that's really hard because people do us wrong all the time. We've seen that Saul's been doing David wrong and David had never got him back. He had a chance two different times to kill David. David had two times that he could have killed Saul and he did not. He said, I'll leave the vengeance to the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to see David and a man by the name of Nabal. And we're going to see what happens. Do we get people back when they hurt us? I mean, that's the natural thing. How do we respond when wrong? Naturally, we want to give them back. Supernaturally, is leave the vengeance to the Lord. So as we continue this morning, we see David and a man by the name of Nabal. And he does David wrong. And we'll see what happens. You know, we often hear people say something like this. If that person were a Christian, they wouldn't do that. Well, the idea that if a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, not do certain things. Well, the truth is this. As a believer, we're capable of any sin. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're born again. We're changed from the inside out. We were dead, but we're now alive. But the truth is, we still have a natural bent to sin. It's called the flesh. In Galatians 5, it says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. There is this part of us that is a natural bent to sin, and the Bible calls it the flesh. And it does not go away when you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. You're born again, you're a new person, you're a new creation in Christ, but you still have a natural bent to sin. And that's why there's a battle going on in Galatians 5 between the flesh and the spirit. This morning, we see David, and he's about to mess up. Now, we've looked at his life, and so far we said, you know, David is a pretty amazing man. We saw him where he, at that age, maybe 14 or 15, he killed Goliath. He's been faithful to do the little things. Now he's going to be faithful to do the big things. Here he had an opportunity two times to kill Saul, and he didn't do it. We'd say, David, you are really something. You know, we want to be like you, and we would. And then today, we're going to see what happens. We're going to see that this man by the name of Nabal does David wrong. And I want you to think for a minute. In your life, who has done you wrong? Who has done you wrong recently? Who has done you wrong some years ago? There are times in our lives that people on purpose. I mean, sometimes we say, oh, they didn't mean to do that. They didn't. There are times people mean to do it. And you say, how could they do that? What do we do about that? When he dealt with Saul, David said this, I think vengeance belongs to the Lord. Now he's going to deal with Nabal, and Nabal does David wrong, and now vengeance belongs to David. And we'd look at this and we'd say, now David, what do you think you're doing? And I want you to remember this verse, and this is where we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Look at that verse. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. Listen, just because you've gone along and you've done real well and you live by the scripture and you're rolling and you're doing good and you're growing, you can say, hey, I'm doing great. But that doesn't mean we still can't mess up. And it doesn't mean that we're not capable of any sin. And it doesn't mean that we're just going to be fine. We have to guard our hearts and our lives. As we see this passage, vengeance belongs to the Lord. Let's remind ourselves about David's life. He was a man after God's own heart. He was faithful in that which is little, that was taking care of the sheep, to be faithful in that which is big. Not only was he able to fight Goliath, but he's going to be the king of Israel. He's already been anointed. He is trusting God in the trials of life. And he's learned so far, vengeance belongs to the Lord. So we say, David, you're really rolling. Well, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. Just go all the way back. Most of you maybe have already got that place marked. 1 Samuel 25, we're looking at the life of David. And now, David, if you remember, let me just remind you of something. David is on the run from Saul. He's not the king. Saul's the king. David has been anointed as the king. If you want to look at it from a human way, you could say, David could say, wait a minute. I've already been anointed as king. I ought to be the king. I could have killed Saul. That would have probably been right. And I could be the king. We can always justify things like that. But David's smart enough to say, I know I'm anointed as king. I'm supposed to be the king. Saul's still the anointed one of God. So I will not touch him until God removes him from being king. All this time, David's been on the run. They've been hiding in the caves and the hills, and every now and then Saul will find out where David is, and he'll send a bunch of troops down there to get David, but he's never been able to get him. While this is going on, David has been helping a man by the name of Nabal. Let me remind you, Nabal is a man who is very wealthy. His name means fool. He's married to a woman named Abigail. She's very beautiful. Best you can tell, this must have been arranged marriage, okay? Because she's beautiful and he is a fool. That's what it says. And in fact, we're going to get the description of the man as we go through the passage. And what David had done is David had his men, and let me remind you something. In the Bible, it calls it David's mighty men. And when you think of that, you think of these men of valor. And these guys have been sort of in trouble in the past. They've been sort of scoundrels, and they've been run off. And then they all got together with David, and David is a man of character. And these men are beginning to be molded by David. And suddenly they become mighty men, and they become fighters, and they become defenders, and they're doing the things that are right. And so here's David's men, and this man named Nabal has all of this property and all these cows and all these sheep and all these things. And so what he decides to do, David makes an agreement with some of Nabal's main men and says, listen, we'll protect you. I've got a lot of men. We'll put a circle around the camp. Nobody will come in and steal your sheep. Nobody will come in and hurt you. And we'll guard you. And so when sheep shearing time comes, give us some of the food, you know, because we're going to help you out. That was an agreement. That was a deal. That was pretty common. That was pretty common. Well, let's see what happens. Look at 1 Samuel 25. Look at verse 2. Now, there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. That's where Mount Carmel is. And the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. If you just read on, it goes on down to verse 4, because verse 3 is really a parenthesis. Verse 4 says, it came about that while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel, that David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So here's what we got. It's now time for the collection. They're shearing the sheep. They're taking care of everything. So David is going to come basically and send some men and say, listen, we've been protecting your property. We've been helping you out. Give us what's due to us. Now, verse 3 gives us a little background because it's in parenthesis. Notice what it says. Now, the man's name was Nabal. And his wife's name was Abigail. And the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but, look at the contrast, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings. He's a harsh, evil man. She's a beautiful, intelligent woman. We'd say, how did they even get together? Well, it wasn't like dating in those, you know, our days. This probably been arranged. He's a very wealthy man, probably Abigail's father at one time saw that this man is wealthy, and so he made a deal that his daughter, Abigail, would be married to Nabal. And she's going to go the rest of her life married to this man. And the name himself means fool. So when you saw him, you went, there's fool. Because he's a harsh, an evil man. You know, when the Bible describes somebody, it's always right. I mean, you know, it's accurate. It's the Word of God. Well, look what happens. David and his men, they've been protecting him, and they realize, hey, it's time. It's verse 5. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, have a long life. Peace be to you, peace be your household, and peace to be all that you have. Now, David is saying, go up there and be real nice to him. Do the right thing. Go up to him, and when you go up to him, say, because he's wealthy, and he's powerful. So go up to him and say, we come in the name of David, and peace to you, peace to your family, peace to your household, peace to everything. Everything, peace. Now, here's what he says, verse 7. Now, I've heard that you have shearers. Now, your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. So the first statement is, we've been protecting your people, and we've been protecting your stuff. We didn't bother them. In fact, we didn't let anybody else bother them. They have not missed anything all the time you've been up in this area. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we've come on a festival, a festive day. Sheep shearing was a festival day. They had a party. They had all kind of food, and they would shear the sheep, and it's like a harvest time. I mean, this is a wonderful time. And so they're all saying, we've come on this festive day, and it says, please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David. They're basically asking for their pay. Please give. And they've done it in a nice way. They said, we've come up, it's a big party, we know you're having a great day, it's a big festive day, this is a big day for you and your family and all your workers, and we've been protecting them. And so we've come up and we're asking, would you give us what you owe us? That's a nice way. May we find favor. Give us what is due. When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all the words in David's name, and they waited. Can you see them going up saying, we're from David, and he says to tell you peace to your family, peace to you, and peace to everything, peace to everything. And so David, we're speaking for David, and David says that we've protected everything, and we would like our money. We'd like to be paid. Thank you very much. And we're waiting. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're waiting. They're waiting. Look what happened. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, watch what he does. Who is David? And who are the sons of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Now, the rumor's all out that David was a descendant of Jesse, and that David is on the run. People all know what's going on, that King Saul is trying to kill David. And so he says, well, who is David? I don't think you're very important. I don't think David's very important. And who is the son of Jesse? There are a lot of servants today who are breaking away from their masters. David's just a slave type guy, and he's running away from Saul. What difference do I care about that? And then he says in verse 11, shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shearers, for my workers, and give it to men whose origin I do not know? Now, that's not a nice way to say it. He said, I don't even know who you guys are. I don't even know what your backgrounds are. He's almost saying, I don't even know if you're really Jewish people. I don't know anything about you. So when David came very nicely, he answers them very harshly. I don't know who you are. I don't know who David is. I know he's on the run. I could care less. I don't know anything about you. You think I'm going to take my food and my meat and my bread and my water that I'm giving to my workers, you think I'm going to give it to any of you? I don't even know who you are. I don't know anything about you. Shall I take my food and give it to the people I don't know? He's going back on his word. Because you know the word had gotten to him that these people are protecting us and that there's a deal been made. I mean, David's not going to come ask for food if there hadn't been a deal made. He's going back on his word. And he's going back on his agreement. And I want you to realize something. People go back on their word all the time. People will usually go back on their word if it's not convenient. See, people will say, I will do something. And then if it comes up and it's not convenient or it's not in their best interest or it doesn't look like it's going to turn out to be the best for them, they'll go back on their word. Not everybody's going to be nice to us. Not everybody will be fair to us. When children say, it's not fair, say, get used to it. Life's not fair. Is it not true? Is it fair? It's not fair, is it? The only time it's going to actually be fair is when Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He'll right all wrongs and everything will be just. Don't expect people to do what they say. Now, we should. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If we say I'm going to do something, we ought to do it. If we say I'll be here at 8:45, be here at 8:45. I'll help you set up chairs, I'll help you set up chairs. If I come bring that, we ought to do what we say. But in the truth is that a lot of people we deal with don't do what they say. And here's David and his men finding out that this rich man named Nabal basically promised them that, thank you for taking care of us. When time comes, we'll take care of you. When the time comes, he says, I don't even know who you are. People mostly will do what's convenient for them. Yeah, I know I said I would help, but you know, I didn't know it was going to be on Saturday morning. And that's when I do this. Or, oh, no, I know I said I would help them do that, but I wanted to go to the, and see, so whatever's convenient. They went back and told David. Verse 12, so David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to these words. Now, what we might expect, because David is a man after God's own heart, and David, when his two opportunities to kill Saul, who's been trying to kill him. Now, Nabal hadn't tried to kill David or anything. Now, Saul's been trying to kill David. And twice, David said, I'll just leave it to the Lord. But here comes this man who says, I'm not given you what I said I would give you. We might expect when the men came back to David and said, he said, he didn't even know who you are. He didn't even care who you are. He said a lot of people are breaking away from their masters. He said he's not going to give his stuff that goes to his people to give to our people. You might think David would say, well, we all know vengeance belongs to the Lord. And that in a situation like this, even after all our hard work and everything that we've done, we'll just ignore this and just go on with our lives. You think that's David? What does David do? David said to his men, verse 13, each of you gird on his sword. So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went with up behind David, while 200 stayed with the beggars. David's got 600 mighty men. He's got 600 men traveling around with him. Can you imagine hiding 600 people all the time so Saul can't catch you? These guys are tough. David says, give me 400 men. The other 200 of you can stay here. Everybody get your swords on. We're going to go kill every person in his household. Isn't that natural? What do you want to do when somebody does you wrong? Somebody cuts right in front of you. You can't cut in front of me. Right? And you're at the supermarket and there's big lines and then you go, and then somebody with this big old thing of food goes right in front of you. And you go, I think I was going in there. Right? How do you feel? How do you feel when somebody says, I'll do that, and then they don't? How do you feel when somebody says, I promise you I will be there, and they don't show up? They don't even call. They don't even call. You naturally say, that's the last I'm dealing with them. Or, if I had an opportunity, I'd get them back. Has anybody ever done you wrong, and in your mind, you've replayed how you're going to get them? Right? Boy, if they were right here, I would punch them right in the stomach. Or, you know, I would do this, right? David's not even talking about it. He says, everybody get your sword on. We are going to Carmel, and we're going to kill everybody there. Wow. It's easy to do right one time and do wrong the next time, isn't it? Think about the last time somebody did you wrong. Somebody took advantage of you. Somebody did something they were not supposed to do to you, and you know it was wrong. They know it was wrong, and they did it on purpose. How do you feel about it? Well, let's see what happened. Let's go back to Nabal's house. Let's see what's happening. One of the young men told Abigail, David's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Somebody goes to tell Abigail. Why would somebody go tell Abigail? She's what? Okay, she's what? But she's what? And she's intelligent? She's smart? Somebody says, we better go tell Abigail what happened. Why wouldn't they go tell Nabal? They couldn't even talk to him, right? You go to Nabal and say, hey, Nabal, by the way, those guys are pretty tough guys, and you just ran them all off. He'd say, get out of here. I'm not talking to you. So they said, we better not talk to Nabal. Let's go talk to Abigail, because she's smart. And he goes up to Abigail, and they say, David sent these messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. These men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as they went about with them while they were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and by day. All the time we were with them tending the sheep. What did they tell her? They helped us, and that was what was expected, and now they came to get their stuff, and Nabal blew them off. Blew them off. Look at verse 17. Now therefore know and consider what you should do. Not what Nabal should do, what Abigail should do. For evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him. Whoa. Wow. Somebody figure out what to do. We don't know what to do. Evil is plotted against the master and the whole household. I mean, this is not just he going to come kill Nabal. You know what they know? They're going to come kill them. Listen, they know those are pretty tough guys. There are 600 of David's mighty men have been surrounded them for weeks, and they know what kind of men these are, and now they know that there's a posse coming after them, right? And so they went to Abigail and said, you better do something, because I tell you what, everybody in this place is going to get killed. And we can't talk to him because he's what? Worthless man that no one can speak to. He's foolish. No one can speak to him. He will not listen. Is there another slide about it? A fool speaks without hearing. A fool decides without getting the information. See, what did Nabal do? I don't even know who you are. Get out of here. They could have said, listen. Don't run them off because they've been really helping us a lot. A lot. And they're pretty rugged guys, okay? We ought to stay on their good side. So look what Abigail does. Abigail heard and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 jugs of wine, 5 sheep already prepared, 5 measures of roasted grain, 200... Are y'all getting hungry when you read this thing? Listen, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. She's got all this food. She starts saying, okay, get the stuff, get all that, start loading it up. She's getting a big caravan of food set up. What's she going to do with it? She's going to take it to David. Listen, she's pretty smart. Now watch. She said to her young men, go on before me. Behold, I'm coming after you. She said, get on up ahead of me. Let David know we're coming. And then she said, go on, I'm coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Why? Huh? You think he'd have stopped her? He probably would have. Because he's got control, doesn't he? You think he would have listened to her? No. You know, what we want to be people like Abigail and not Nabal, right? Because people come to us and they say, what do you think about this? And we don't want to be the people that go, I'm not listening. I already got my mind made up. Let me tell you, you can learn from anybody. You can even learn what not to do, right? I mean, you say, well, I want to listen to this person, but I don't trust anything that person says. Well, you can listen to them because you can learn what not to do, right? So we can learn from most anybody. I always say, take the meat and throw away the bones. There's some Bible teachers that I'd tell you right off. I'd say, listen, there's a lot of things they teach are wrong, but there's some good things. So if you're going to listen to them at all, be very discerning. Take the meat, throw away the bones. So here's Nabal, and he won't listen at all. And Abigail says, we just got to go. Now we're going to see David's vengeance. Vengeance belongs to David. David thinks it's him, right? What's he doing? He's got 400 men coming, left 200 with the baggage, 400 are coming, and they're going to go into Nabal's household where all his workers are, where all his people are. He's going to kill every one of them. Watch. Verse 20. Came about that while she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain, behold, David and his men were coming down toward her. So she met them. She's trying to stop them before they get to the place, and she's coming slow. Of course, she's got all this food, and she's coming, and here comes David and his mighty men. David had said, here's what's going to happen. Surely in vain I guarded all that this man had in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing, all that belonged to him. He's returned me what? Evil for good. And this man has done, he returned evil for good. David said, I did everything for this guy. I took care of him. He didn't miss a single thing. And when I did all this good, he returned evil for good. So what's David going to do? Return evil for evil. That's what David's going to do. But the Bible says, never return evil for evil. Return evil with good. This is what makes it so hard. That's Romans chapter 12. Never return evil with evil. Return evil with good. So this is a tough situation. And every one of us in this room, we're going to have opportunities. If we hadn't already had them, we're going to have opportunities that people are going to do us wrong. They're going to do evil to us. And we're going to have an opportunity to do evil back to them. And what we have to learn, and I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's a supernatural life. It is beyond a normal life. It is return evil with good. Because who's going to deal with it in the long run? Who? God's going to deal with it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will what? Repay. God's going to deal with it. Look what happens. Now, look at verse 22. This tells you David's thinking. May God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave as much as one man of any who belong to him. He said, I'm going to kill every man there. When I get there, I'm going to kill him. No, he probably don't kill. He's not going to kill women and children. That's not David. David says it wasn't the women and children's fault. It's actually Nabal's fault, but I'm going to kill every man that's there and wipe them all out. That should make it right. Isn't vengeance weird? We're going to kill every person there, and that makes it right? Somehow getting somebody back makes it right. Can some things ever be made right by getting somebody back? In fact, almost never is it made right. In fact, what we actually do is do the same thing they did to us. We don't want to do that. And then watch what happens when she sees David. We won't be able to get all the way through it today because there's so many things that happen and things we need to learn. But look at verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey, and she fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. Now, let me tell you something. In that day and time, she is the wife of a very rich man. She's not going to bow down to anybody. What's David's reputation? I mean, he's been a great fighter, but right now, what's he doing? He's running all over the place. He's kind of a renegade. He's got 600 men, and people are saying, he just got a bunch of guys, and they're all out terrorizing the neighborhood, you know? And David, we don't even know where he is. He went down and lived in with the Philistines for a while, and then he's lived over here for a while. And so David, even though he's a man after God's own heart, she is bowing down in front of a robber, a renegade. That's what she's doing. You know what? She recognizes who David is. She doesn't see David as a scoundrel. And she doesn't see David as a guy who's running for his life and stealing things and got his men. And she sees David as the next king of Israel. She knows it. Watch what happens when we see it. Now, we may not see it this morning, but we'll see it, and I'll remind you of it next time. She bows down. She saw David as a hero, as a leader. She saw him as more than a scoundrel. She fell at his feet and said, "On me, my Lord, be the blame. Let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant." Let me tell you what she does. She does three things. She wants David to recognize the wrong. She recognizes the wrong that was done to David. Number two, she tries to correct the wrong. And number three, she asks for forgiveness. Now, who did the wrong? Her husband. But she says, listen, we can't live with this because my husband's actions are going to get a lot of people killed. So she comes and she says, I recognize that my husband did wrong. I've got something here for you. Will you forgive me? Now let me tell you, when we do something wrong, and this is good, to go into the next one. When we do wrong to others, one of the things we need to do is recognize what we've done wrong and tell the person. Sometimes we think they know. I don't have to tell them I did them wrong. Yeah, you should. And correct the wrong as possible. Sometimes there are things we've done wrong you can't fix. You can't correct it. You can do some things, but there's some things you do wrong, you can't take it back. Sometimes when people say things about people, you can't bring that back. It's out and people know about it. And you can't take it back. And so sometimes we can correct it. It's correct it if possible. Recognize, tell the person that was wrong. I was wrong. And seek forgiveness. Will you forgive me? So she's doing the right thing. She's saying, David, my husband did you wrong. I'm going to try to make it right. And I want you to forgive me. In this passage, we're seeing a double thing. We're seeing ourselves, when someone does us wrong, how are we going to respond? The natural thing is to go after them and to say, they did this, they're not getting away with this, I'm going to get them back. We must realize that God will be the one to get them back. We don't have to get them back. Do not return evil with evil, return evil with good. The second thing we're seeing from this passage is, what do we do when we do somebody wrong? Is that going to happen? Of course it's going to happen. Sometimes we do people wrong, we didn't even mean to do it. Sometimes we do people wrong, we meant to do it. Because we're such sweet people, right? We're all sinful. Put us in the wrong place at the wrong time, we're going to do the wrong thing. That's just what we are. And so what are we going to do when we do wrong? Recognize that we've done wrong. Tell the person, I'm wrong. I did you wrong. Correct it if possible. And ask for forgiveness. Well, let's see what she does. She, first of all, she admits that she's wrong. Look at verse 24. I think this is it. Look at 24. She fell at his feet and said, on me alone, my Lord, be blame. Be the blame. Please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Now, she goes to David, falls down in front of this outdoors fighting man. She falls down in front of him and she says, I am to blame here. Who's to blame? Nabal. She's taking the blame. She's taking the blame. She said, let the blame be on me. Now, please listen to me. She calls him. She says, I'm your maidservant. She's saying, I'm serving you, David. I'm serving you. Listen to the words of your maidservant. Wow. She admits the wrong. Isn't it hard to say I'm sorry? Isn't it hard to say I was wrong? Now, some of us will get so good at it because we're wrong all the time. We get pretty good at saying I'm wrong, right? But the truth is, it's hard to admit that you're wrong. In fact, we want to make every kind of justification we can. We'll say things like, well, I mean, I was wrong. But see, this is what happened. And we always want to try to justify what we do. Sometimes we just go wrong and do wrong. And there's no other explanation for it except we did wrong. We did wrong. We were selfish. We were prideful. Whatever it was, we did wrong. She said, I'm wrong. But now look what she goes on to explain in verse 25. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. You think she respects her husband? You know that book, Love and Respect? I don't think she's got that for him, right? Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. What does his name mean? It means fool. She says, do not pay attention, you know, to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, it's fool, so is he. He's a fool. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. And then she explains, I, your maidservant, I did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. They didn't come to me. I did not know they came. I didn't know what happened. If I'd have known what happened, we would have never sent them back that way. She's basically saying, if I would have been in control, if I would have known what was going on, we would have done something about it. And so she's saying she's wrong. And she's taking the blame herself. Now, she's pretty smart. What does she look like? She's really beautiful. What did David like women? I'm afraid so, right? David's known for liking women. And, I mean, a beautiful young woman comes up and says, oh, David, will you please forgive me? What do you think he's going to do? Why, sure, you know? I mean, what's he going to do? So she's bowing down before him and saying, please let my Lord, don't pay attention to Nabal. He's a worthless man. I didn't even know that he came. Huh? I think so. Now, we all know, don't we? Do we know what's going to happen, right? Y'all know the story. I mean, he's probably going, she's married to a fool. I look pretty good compared to him, I'm sure, right? That's what he would think. Now look at verse 26. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. She's saying, the Lord has stopped you so far. You've not gotten there. You've not killed anybody yet. You know what she's going to say later on? Let me tell you how smart she is. She says this, one day you're going to be king. And when you're king, you don't want this on your conscience. You don't want people to have known that you killed all these people before you became the king. You want to be a spotless man. You want to be a godly man. You want to be the man that everybody sang the songs. David has killed his 10,000. You want to be a man, everybody says, is a man after God's own heart. You don't want to have this on your record. She says, I know what you're going to be in the future. One day you will be the king. So don't do this. Now, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. Let them all be foolish. Everybody that's against you, let them be a fool. Now, time is up. We got to stop. But the first thing she does is she admits that she was wrong. What's the second thing? You got to fix it. What has she done? How's she going to fix it? She brought a whole bunch of food. What did they want? They came for their food. She's bringing a whole bunch of food. What's the third thing? ask for forgiveness. You guys, that's what she does. And David's going to say, I bless God and I bless you because you kept me from doing something wrong. There are good people in our lives that are going to come to us sometimes and they're going to stop us from making mistakes. We're going to be all bent on what we're going to do, and we're going to say, I'm going to do this. And somebody who's smart and somebody who's loving is going to say, think it over. This is not a wise thing to do. Look at the repercussions. And sometimes we'll say, well, I don't care. And you say, yes, you do. You may not care right now, but 2 years from now, you're going to care. And the rest of your life, you're going to care. And so the next time we think about getting vengeance ourselves, and thinking that we're going to be able to get these people back who did us wrong, whoever they are, just remember, is this what you want to carry on in your life for the rest of your life? Let the Lord deal with it. Let's pray, and we'll get some more of this next time. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that as we think about vengeance, it belongs to you. And Lord, when people do things wrong, say things wrong, hurt us, we just have to trust you. We do not return evil with evil, we return evil with good. Thank you, Lord, as we look at David's life and we see how he was on his way to do something that would be wrong and you used Abigail to stop him. Lord, we just pray for people in our lives that will help us with wisdom, help us when we're making decisions that might be the wrong decisions, help us to when we're thinking about doing something that is contrary to the Scripture, that there would be people there to warn us and to help us. And Lord, as we look at Abigail and what she did, as she recognized the wrong that was done and she tried to correct the wrong and she asked for forgiveness, may we do that if we do someone wrong. But Lord, may we learn from this passage how to handle when someone does us wrong and what to do when we do someone wrong. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.